Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Comic Chronicle Podcast. I'm your host, Dakota Morgan, coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona. Today we have on the show, editor Kyler Merrill is on the show from Foreign Press Comics, and then we're talking about Smash. And as of this recording, it's not out, but as of if you're listening to this right now, because of, you know, time travel and all that shit, the Kickstarter is live for Smash, so go on there and go support them for Foreign Press Comics. I'm really excited for this. I have the money, because, you know, everything's been tight these days, like a nun's butt. We are going to try to support them here for the Comic Chronicle Podcast, but go ahead and support Smash on Kickstarter there for Foreign Press Comics. Excited for this anthology series of nerdiness. Like, it's gonna be a good time. Kyler and I are on the show today, and Kyler is talking about, you know, Smash itself, Foreign Press Comics, the world of Kickstarter, and what it's like, you know, trying to do Kickstarter nowadays, being indie comic guys, the anthology, you know, working with creators. And we talk a lot about, like, just being creative and working as creators in this business and working with each other and kind of surviving and doing a lot. There's so much we talk about. Business, though, guys and girls and everyone on, we are going to talk a little bit about a business here, aka social media. If you guys follow me on X or at XXX, whatever you want to call it, I'm at DakotaMorgan3, Instagram at Dakota_Morgan97, and of course, Twitch when I play video games and have time, CodaRex97. And the YouTube channel, Dakota Morgan, for paleo content, this podcast sometimes when it's up, and as well as much, much more video games and such. And be sure, guys, to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening, Apple, wherever you're listening currently. Please subscribe for new episodes every week, whether it's an interview, whether it's a talk show segment, or a review of me ranting. You can get new episodes and leave a review. It helps out the show greatly. So thanks, everybody, for tuning into this episode. You all rock, and we've been doing the show for years now, half a decade, and just so happy that you guys still tune in and listen. And make sure you promote the show, too. And this is a call to my indie fellow creators out there. If you're an indie comic creator of some kind, artist, writer, you got a thing coming on Kickstarter, even coming in the stores and whatnot, too. If you want to come on the show, email me, filmworld97@gmail.com. That's filmworld97@gmail.com. Email me there, and then you can go ahead and we can get you on the show, because we're going to I want to support you guys. You know, I'm an indie comic book writer for SGGS Comics. You know, we got all our stuff coming out, and indie creators, because you all matter too. Now I'm tired of doing this rambling here, so without further ado, let's get into my talk with Kyler. Really able to move everything in the home office to the left of me, so yeah. It looks clean.
Are you getting my video or not? I'm not getting my video.
I am not.
Oh, I think I know why.
Okay.
Let me try it again. There we go.
Hey! Well, very nice fucking setup, by the way. I like the Moon Knight, and you got a Spider-Man poster. Look at you go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's relatively new. It's only a couple months old, so.
That's fair.
This was kind of my goal when I moved to a new house. I was like, I want to make it so I have like a decent backdrop for my stuff, you know?
Yeah, what is that like? I'm in an apartment. So it's like literally like this is somewhat bedroom. I will destroy the facade that people think of that is this background. But welcome to the show, man. We're happy to have you on. I know we had that little bit of a rough thing. Is your car okay?
Yeah, it was a thing. Like, I'd had a flat, like a multiple days in a row, it was going down. So I was like, I just have a leak, whatever. I'll go to the tire shop, get it fixed in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
No, there's a whole what's the word I'm looking for? My rim was broken.
Oh,
was
shit.
And so, yeah, so I had to basically borrow rides from use my girlfriend's car when she wasn't working. Her sister picked me up from work one day. So I was just trying to get to work, because I was like, I don't want to drive on the bent rim while they waited for the new one to come in. So,
yeah.
But it was just like, I expected it to be like 15, 20 minutes. And then it ended up like, no, they tried to do something to try to make it a little bit better, and it didn't help. So, I apologize.
No, you're good, man. I've been dealing 3 months of that shit.
Yeah.
3 months of borrowing the wife's car, you know, asking for roommates rides, like, because I got in a car accident. So someone drove in front of me during a rainy night in December. And then I just got the car back a couple days ago. So I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's rough, man. I just hate dealing with car shit. It's just so much trouble.
I like mechanic stuff. Like, I used to do stuff with the Air Force and work on planes and whatnot. I grew up in the mechanic family, yet somehow ended up a comic book writer. I don't know how that works. But and lover of dinosaurs and nature and shit like that. Who knows? But it's just such a pain in the ass anymore. Mm-hmm. But you, sir, you have a job, by the way, might I add, because we are talking about Smash, of course, but you're an editor. What is it like in 2024 being an editor? Because no editor wants to come onto this podcast. I swear to God, it's a thing. I don't know why.
I don't know. I'm an editor of my own work, not of my own work. I try to use actual editors for like my own personal stuff, but like I'm just an editor in terms of I've organized three anthologies at this point. This is my fourth one. Jesus. And so that's what I mean by an editor, is just like I, you know, because editor of an anthology, it's not just like, oh, I'm picking like the stories. Like you have to, for one thing, you have to pick the stories to go in it and like make sure you have the creative teams down and that people are communicating with each other and like that people are getting back to you. And, you know, if they're, or if, you know, whether you're building the teams or the teams are already together, and then you got to edit the actual stories. And, but that's like the smallest part of my job is editing the stories. You know, and especially on Smash, I have my co-editor, Devin R. Scott. So that was a big help as well. But yeah, that's what I mean by an editor. It's not as much like, I'm not like doing that, editing other people's work on a regular basis or anything like that.
But I'm still doing it though. I mean, and the people though who may not know what the hell that is, like what does it entail being an editor? Because I know there's a lot of like, there's a lot of like broke, there's an editor, broke of mine, who a friend of mine who works on my comics for SGGS, but like power to her. I don't know how the hell she does my work, because I would look at my scripts and say, what the fuck is wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
But like, you know, it's that sort of thing. But, you know, taking a look at it, like what does an editor do exactly for people who don't know?
I mean, like an editor for, if you were just like hired on a book, it depends on kind of the editor, like what they look out for, but it's just, they're in charge of making sure that your script looks, that it's like legible, not legible, obviously it's usually typed, but
grammatically like correct sense. Sort of thing.
Yeah, not well there's grammatically, you know, and some people are better than that than others. Oh, like Devin for Smash, he was very big about correcting little things, little errors that I would have probably let slip by, and he stayed on top of it, and that's what I appreciate about having a co-editor. Is that you have someone to look out for those things. But grammatically, make sure that like it's clear what they're saying, so that when it gets to the artist isn't gonna, you know, it just takes that a step rather than have them send it to the artist and the artist come back. Let's just nip it in the bud and make sure it makes sense now. That's a big part of it. And then just making sure that like the story is good in terms of like, you know, pacing, making sure that page numbers are on the right sides. Like, hey, this might work better for a page turn. So maybe try to maneuver your script around so that this is on an odd numbered page. And so that way when you flip it, it'll be even. And so like just little things like that, making sure that it reads well, that it will read well, not only as a script, but as a finished comic is kind of just the whole thing. It's just making sure that the story makes sense and that everybody from the artist to the letterer is on the same page and is being part of the same process.
It's a lot of work. It is a lot of work. And I power to you guys. Like as a writer, I write the books and put them out and whatnot, but like, and turn in my scripts, but like to the artists, magicians, editors, magicians. So the people who publish it and make the shit, magicians to me. Like it's just magic. They're like, how does this work? I'm like, I've done the podcast for 5 years talking to people how this shit works. Still magic to me. It seriously is.
Yeah, you learn it through trial and error. Like because that's my very first comic was I did little short ones online, but like my very first one was an anthology, and I had no idea what I was doing or how to do it. I just jumped into it and I learned some lessons and how to better communicate. So I was like, carried that into the next one. Then I learned more on the next one. And that's when I learned how to print things. And then I went to the next one, learned how to do. And so like, it's just learning a little bit every time. You kind of just got to jump in, and you know, you can't just dip your toe and you kind of just got to go in head first and like, you'll figure your way out.
I love it. Honestly. Yeah. Cause you'd rather do that than like, you know, power to Scott Snyder doing classes and shit like that right now. But like, you know, didn't do a class. Like honestly, like, hitting the grind. It's what I did in the film industry for years. Like hitting the grind, going at it, doing it. And you learn, because that's how you learn. That's how you learn it. Because you can sit in the classroom and you can get taught the stuff. But like, how do you put that into like real life scenarios? Yeah. Like, what do you, because there's a billion things classes not fucking prepare you for. I can tell you that for a fact. And like, there's no matter what it is, you know, I took voice acting classes and I did voice acting for a couple of years. Right. No, class did not prepare me for that fucking hustle. Holy shit. You know?
Yeah. And like the skill of it is one part of it, but like putting it into practice, and like then there's like putting it into practice, because I'm taking a figure drawing course right now. And so like that's like learning the skill is good, but doing it on like in a comic page is different than that. And then even more further than that is like learning how to manage yourself, like you were talking about, as like a person on like the hustle, the grind, like making sure that like I'm getting work doing that I'm you know, improving doing that I'm meeting my deadlines, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, there's like levels to it.
I like it, man. I like it. I have a very burning question for you though. So is it Kyler or Kyler? Kyler. How would you pronounce it? Because I just want to know for later.
Yeah, it's just Kyler, just Kyler. Like okay. Tyler, just like awesome. Every other name. Yeah.
Sweet. You never know these days. There was one I misinterpreted, and it looked like there was a guy I met. He had Bob with two B's, and it was I asked for his driver's license because I was working at a food chain called Sprouts around here in Southwest.
Yeah.
And he was buying liquor, and it was like Bob with two B's, and he's like, "Oh, it's Bob." And I'm like, you must have been made fun of so bad as a child. Like, I wanted to, like, this man, I wish I just, like, give my phone number because I would have been like, hey, I want to keep in touch with your life, man. It's like, what happens? How do you live?
What happens to you? Yeah.
How do you put down on a job application, Bob? And like, no, it's Boob. And like, oh, Boob? No, Boob.
Yeah.
All right.
That's rough. I see some kids with some names, and I'm just like, I don't know.
You ain't making it. Suicide's going to kill you soon. Like, you're going to be like, I'm done. I'm over this. Mm. But you know, I gotta also ask you, sir, is people who are listening to this might not know, so check out the YouTube page. What Enterprise do you have in the back on your shelf?
Next generation.
Nice. I was curious. I'm like, which one?
I think that's just the first one I got that I was like, that it was from one that I've seen. Like, I think I saw one that was cheap from like Star Trek Enterprise, and I haven't seen Enterprise yet, so I was like, I don't want to get that one. I'll just go with the one that I know. And so I went with that one. That was the one.
That's fair. There's a lot of them, by the way, for this. I mean, are you a Trekkie or?
Not barely.
Barely.
Like, I've just started like the last few years, a while, probably in college sometime. I was like, I watched the original series, and then I couldn't get into Next Generation. And then I binged Next Generation, and then I binged Strange New Worlds, and I binged most of Deep Space Nine now. And so, yeah, I've kind of like gotten into it, but I wouldn't say I'm like a Trekkie.
Nice. I was gonna recommend The Strange New Worlds. I recommend that show to everybody.
Yeah, it's like, really good.
Oh, such a beautiful show. It made me feel bad as a writer. Like, that show made me, I'm like, how the fuck really can good. I call myself a storyteller? But Kyler, taking a look here with you, what can you tell me about, because I got the email about it and I wanted to have you on to talk about Smash. So what exactly is going on with that world? You got a team going on with you here. Like, what exactly can you tell us?
It's called Smash or Smash Quarterly. And it was originally, it's basically just a series of anthologies, a 4-part anthology series that's going to be told in, black and white in a floppy format. So single issue format.
Nice.
And, it revolves around suspense, mystery, action, sci-fi, and horror, which is SMASH, the acronym SMASH. And so,
that's cool. I didn't know that. That's really cool. Sorry. I just got to say that's awesome.
You're good. I wanted to come up with a name that was like, kind of very like in your face, just with Smash, very like, especially it's a very like comic book sound effect onomatopoeia word, and then I had to give it an acronym, so that's what I came up with. But all the stories revolve around suspense, mystery, action, sci-fi, and horror, and then we have two stories that go or one for now, we'll see if we get to the second one or not, that kind of go across all four volumes. And so like part one will be in this first volume that launches in the next week, and then you know, then we'll have another part in the second, another part in the third, another part in the fourth, until that'll be a whole story. And that's by Jared Lujan and Luis Godoy.
Nice. But,
yeah.
Nice. And it's on Kickstarter right now, right? The recording is new, but probably when this episode comes out.
Yeah, yeah. When we're recording, it launches in like 3 days. So,
So what? So honestly, that sounds awesome. So like, you got these stories with it, and you got these. Like, what inspired you guys to do this? Like, what was kind of like the thing? Did you all know each other from a certain point, or was it like you met online? Like, what was the thing about it?
Well, it started with, I just had the idea for, I wanted to do another anthology. I knew I had, like I said, I've been pretty much an anthology every year since 2021 or 2020. And so like, I just wanted to do my next one, and I wanted this one to be a little bit different. And I kind of wanted to go back to like a more like a kind of old school comic anthology where it's just a single issue. And then like, here's a bunch of stories. And there's also some that kind of carry on throughout different other issues. And so that's where it started. And I went to Devin. I met Devin through my podcast. He was my very first guest. And so we had talked, and I knew he was a good editor. I knew he was a good writer. So I asked him, hey, do you want to be the editor on this? He said, you know, we talked about it, figured out a plan. He said, yeah, I'm down. So we went from there. We opened up submissions sometime. This was probably started in like 20, like end of 2022, I think, is when we finished submissions for this one.
Oh shit.
And then we just have gone for, we built our team. We went through several rounds of submissions. Mm-hmm. Not for several rounds of submissions, but like we went and like had one category that we went through, and then we that took out a bunch of them. Then went through another category and that took out a bunch more, and until eventually we ended up with our, I think we're at 7 or 8 stories now. And so we just went with those. We had people turn in scripts, we edited them, and everything after that went kind of normal, the normal comic process. But just dealing with, instead of one artist, dealing with, you know, 6 or 7 teams and just making sure everybody turned their stuff in on time and in the right formats and all that stuff.
Hey guys, Dakota here, coming at you with a little ad break and ways that you can actually help support the show. Maybe asking, how can the hell can you do this? Well, how you can do it is by going into the description for this episode, wherever you guys are listening, and clicking the link on there for Redbubble. That's right, folks, we have the store, and we used to have it and promote it a little bit more, but it's coming back now, folks. The Redbubble store for the Comic Chronicle podcast. Go to the link down below to support. You can get the Comic Chronicle logo, and as well as other logos I have created for the show and for you to wear on bags. Bags, shirts, sweaters, all stickers, magnets, all the stuff like that. You have Blockbuster Kid, Vigilante in Training, the podcast logo, and much more. So if you guys want to help support the show, go on over. Everything is 25% off for this year. We are doing that, guys, bringing it back for you and giving you guys a discount. So be sure to go over there, check it out, help support the show, and have some pretty good stuff. And now back to the show.
Cool. I love that. And anthologies are like, there's so much possibilities with them in storytelling. Yeah. Like there's so much. And in comic book form, mm-hmm. I don't think you see enough of it. You gotta correct me on this one. Is it tougher to do anthology in comic book form than just a linear story? Because obviously we have like this Elseworlds and we have everything like that, multiverse, yeah. But with an anthology, you get so much more you can tell, I believe. And there's just so much more leeway. Is that easier or tougher, do you think?
It depends. Well, because an anthology like has different like definitions, kind of, sort of, because like I had another story that I was going to do that I was kind of considering an anthology because it was multiple stories done by different creators that weren't directly related, but all featured like the same character in common. And I was like, is that really an anthology, or if it's like is that an anthology? Because I was going to do like a lot of the story and those other artists were just gonna do like filler. And I was like, is that even an anthology, or is it just a chapter book featuring some other people, you know? And so, yeah. My whole thing with anthologies has been wanting, and so I probably made it a little bit harder on myself, has been wanting to do something different than just, here's an anthology that's about, you know, here's our horror anthology, here's our sci-fi anthology, here's our mysteries or are whatever it is. I know everything has a theme and it's more about how well it's done, but I just want to do something different. And so that's why the first one was a narrative anthology called Fletcher Cross, and it featured the same character and each chapter was told by a completely different team, and it features a single story throughout. So that we did that, and that was a little bit different. We did one that was my last one was Comics from the Kitchen, which was a cookbook anthology. So like not only did I have to wrangle all the comic stories, but I also had to make sure that everybody turned in their recipes and that they had the art to go with the recipes and everything was in a good format and all those types of things. And then with Smash, it's been like doing it, running the actual anthology is relatively easy, but the harder part is more in the administration side of things, like making sure that like we get issue one done and we have the covers and everything ready for that. But we also have to keep issue two in mind while we're also planning 3 and then also planning 4. And so that's adding like a little bit of an extra detail for us in the background. Yeah. But I mean, it just depends. I mean, the only difference between running an anthology and writing like a single story is just that there's an extra administrative step or extra administrative steps when it comes to the anthology, because you have to make sure that all those people are turning in their work and that they're doing what they're supposed to and everything's, they're writing the correct scripts and
in the right be the boss man kind of, like you're being exactly, the boss yeah. man yeah yeah yeah. Which
that's the big difference,
yeah. And people often will be like, damn the editor, and like when you're the boss man, obviously you're gonna get that little bit of flack and stuff too, but like honestly though, it still sounds like fun because you still get to work on projects, you get to work in comics, like that's the beautiful part about it. Like you're creating, you have these stories, you're running the stuff with people, and you know about it because you're the boss man about it. But people often forget comic books is a team. It's not two people.
Yeah.
It is so many people behind the scenes. Administration, like you're talking about, it's wild to me how people in 2024 still fucking think it's like two people on a comic book.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, like, it's a lot of people. And that's like one of the, honestly, you were kind of getting close to it. It was like the biggest like advantages that I've gotten to working on anthologies like this is that I have been introduced to so many cool creators and so many new people's work, and not just my own anthologies, like other anthologies that I've done for like the Containment Breach anthology. I lettered a couple stories in those. And so like getting to meet all these people, and now I'm like, okay, now I want to work with that guy. Yeah. Now I know I want to do something with him. Or like, I know, hey, I'm planning another anthology for sometime in the next few years. I know that he will turn in his work on time and he'll do good work. Mm-hmm. And I know he's a trustworthy guy who's going to push the book and be a part, be an actual team player. Or I know like, hey, that guy didn't respond to any of my emails. He did not, was not helpful. In his story at the end of the day, wasn't allowed to be part of the anthology. That's going to be, that means I'm not going to work with him again, you know? And so it lets me know, like, it's like a little vetting process of letting me know, like, hey, this is a good guy, this is not a good guy, stuff like that.
Yeah. And when you get to talk to fellow creators too, like this show is based on that, talking to fellow creators, you know, when it is such a beautiful thing. It's the most calming thing, you know, whether or not it's a good guy or a bad guy or whoever. And I guess when I think about it, like us comic book people, when we start getting together, like us as creatives in the field, like we're just like, hey, how can we help? Like we want to be there. Like, that's the thing about it. Like it's just like the film industry. We want to be there. So everyone who wants to be there wants to be there. Whether or not the stories work out or your work works and fits in, that's just way the game. Sometimes you got to leave. You got to leave a project. They get fired. Either one. But it's such a, like, when being able to work with fellow creators, I think is such a unique experience. It really is. And you get to work the most because, like, as a writer, we only get to do so much. Artists, you get to do a little bit too. But as the boss man, you get to talk to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've just on Smash alone, I don't have a copy of it yet, but like there's probably close to 20 people just on this first volume. And, you know, there's going to be another 20 people in second volume and another. Yeah. I mean, the good news is I'm only communicating with like one person per team. Yep. So it's not like I'm having to communicate with a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, thank God.
That's still, I did that on my first anthology. That was a bad idea. Like I said, I've learned some lessons as I've gone.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got like 20 people on this one. I have like another 20 people. By the time all four parts of Smash come out, that'll be 80 people at least that I've met that I now know to work with and stuff like that. So
wow. I mean, a lot. So you guys are doing it on Kickstarter. Is it planned for each one to come out on Kickstarter, or is it like
that's kind of the plan.
Okay.
Yeah. The plan is to go with to do a Kickstarter per volume, and there might be some other things that get thrown in there, some other projects that kind of get worked into the same Kickstarter that I have that I kind of want to run a campaign for, and I am interested in trying out doing two books at once as part of one campaign. I've had some people have some great success with it, some friends, and so I think I might jump into that. But yeah, the plan at least for now is to do like volume one campaign, volume two, volume three, volume four.
Nice.
And then if we do a collection, you know, or anything like that, we haven't really discussed that, but you know, we'll see if that happens too.
Which volume is your favorite? I'm gonna ask that question because I'm curious, because we all got our favorites. Do you have like,
only two of them are done, or only two of them, only number issue one is the only one that's completely ready to go.
Okay.
Issue two, we have almost, if not all of the art turned in. And then we haven't started submissions for three yet, but I'm going to be honest, I'm partial to one, at least at this point, because, just like, I've just been around those stories a lot more. Like I've been, since I've been planning the campaign and making sure all this stuff works, like I've been reading these synopses and looking at these art, and some of them I lettered as well. So I'm like been really into those. And so that's, I'm partial to one at this time, but it is kind of crazy that like, I mean, and people won't know this yet, but I guess Dev and I are the only ones who know, but like completely unplanned, volume one has a completely different vibe than volume two does. And not like every story is like sticks with that theme or anything, but just like there's a lot of stories that are all kind of very similar in certain ways, just like there's a lot of stories in volume two that are kind of similar. And so I don't know, each one is kind of just giving me a different, it's just kind of crazy how they've kind of built themselves almost, you know. And so it's like, it's just a really cool process to be a part of.
I love it. I love it a lot. And you guys, like if Smash is the name of the series, but like, is there like company name? Do you guys like, because it seems like you guys are like slowly, surely turning into WordPress. An indie company.
Hey guys, Dakota here with a little bit of an ad break for you. And right now, you may be wondering, how can I make a little bit of extra cash while supporting the podcast? Well, let me tell you how. The saloon doors are open, folks. You guys can support the Comic Chronicle podcast by having an ad in the show. That's right, folks. You guys can take a break from my annoying-ass voice and have an ad for your thing here in the show. To make things clear, we're not doing things political because we don't really get political on the show that much. So if you guys do enjoy the show and you want to give a little bit to the show while also making some cash back for whatever it may be for you or supporting something that you do, whether it's a YouTube page, a podcast, a book, whatever it may be, your upcoming event, I can put an ad in for you guys, whether make it myself or you have a pre-recorded ad, that is up to you. Now, if you guys want to do an ad here in the podcast, you can go and email me at filmworld, that's filmworld97@gmail.com. Email me there. We can work out all the logistics. So if you guys want to support the show and support your thing as well, come on down. And guess what, folks? Email that email. Now, let's get back to the show.
I mean, yeah, Foreign Press Comics is my brand that I've built for myself. And I don't know that it's like, I originally did want it to be like a full company, like putting out books and going to the, you know, previews and stuff like that. And I kind of had a little jump into that this last year and it did not go well. And so I think for now it's gonna stick is just me. So anything that comes through Foreign Press is gonna have me in it somehow, whether it's a letter or like an editor on an anthology, or a lot of the stuff is stuff that I've written and drawn. It's gonna be my stuff in some way, shape, or form. But yeah, it's just cool to watch it grow. I think for now it's just gonna be me, and then just anthologies is gonna be the other thing. And so Smash will take us for a little while, and then I think I'm getting kind of the next one. I have a few ideas that I'm ready to do for the next anthology, and hopefully I can keep with my goal, which is, like I said, so far I've done one a year, so hopefully I can stick with one every year. So
I love it. And there's some people who I've talked to and I've met as well too that do Kickstarter comics for a living. Like that's what they do, and it, honestly, like, and it works. And we should also make it clear, those people who back them are very happy, because there's a lot of the shitty Kickstarter stuff out there. But, you know, in the Kickstarter world, I applaud you, man. Like, Kyler, I applaud you because that looks like chaos to me. I'm just like, you know, I thought about it. I did think about it recently. I'm like, you know, we got a project working on. We could definitely do the Kickstarter. But I looked and I'm like, oh, I'm good. Like, I got too much going on. Like, it's, has it gotten easier over the years? Because you've definitely been doing it for a little bit. So has it been easier, do you think? Is it still about the same?
I mean, yeah, this is my going to be, I've done several, have said, I've had several failed campaigns. But, and I've had one successful Kickstarter campaign and a successful Zoop campaign so far. But the big thing, like, honestly, I've heard people like complain about having to build the page and stuff. And I don't find it that bad. Maybe that means I'm doing it wrong. But I don't really think so, but like, I don't think there's a wrong way to do it. I just, other people are probably more detail oriented than I am. But I don't think that it's necessarily gotten easier, because the hard part still of every campaign is this kind of stuff. It's like, not that this conversation is difficult, but like just getting out there and promoting your book and trying to get it to as many eyes as you can, and then make sure that those people are interested in backing it and things like that. That's kind of the hard part. Is
the
like
marketing, we could grind. Say.
Yeah, is exactly.
Yeah, the marketing. I think marketing is tough no matter what. There's people who do it for a living. I'm like, I can go out there and talk all you want. Even marketing for this podcast alone, like it's a pain in the ass. You know, because there's so many things. I mean, there's the competition. There's the who do you go to? Like, who? What do you say? Like, what the hell's going on? Like, all of it. I think there's just so much to it. There's so much to it. And that's what I'm saying. Power to you, man. Power to anyone who else is a part of the team that's going on for marketing, like marketing your own book. I mean, but there's a little bit of fun though to it, because you're marketing a book, you know, you're marketing like a creative thing. And that's also a fun part too.
Yeah. It gets like, I like it because I get to do little, like, I do like making the Kickstarter videos and stuff like that. Cause that's a kind of marketing that it's fun. Like for Comics from the Kitchen, like I immediately knew what I wanted to do. I did like a little cooking video. And then at the end of the cooking video, at the end of the video, it had like, you know, Ratatouille French music in the background. And then after I pulled it out, it was like, I opened the pan and like steam came out and the copy of the book was there. And so that's like, cool. I just like being able to do fun little things. Like I have a couple little videos planned for, you know, TikTok and Instagram and stuff that are going to be, that I think are kind of funny. I mean, they're not funny. It's not like a skit, but it's just like a little play on Smash and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's still entertaining. It's not the standard like bogged down commercial. Yeah.
It's not just like, hey, this is our book. And so it's just little fun little things to do that I've really liked coming up with fun ways to do it. And like, I mean, I don't even know if it counts as marketing, but like for Comics in the Kitchen, like part of the thing I wanted to do was design some stickers. And so like, I just designed a bunch of just fun stickers. And so like just little things that I wouldn't have done normally, mm-hmm. but just like giving myself the chance to do something fun was always a fun little time to do something out of the ordinary.
I love it. I don't know when you get a break, man. It doesn't sound like you have a break at all. It sounds like you're working a whole lot of hours.
Luckily, a lot of the stuff like with the anthology at this point, like at least with Smash, like pretty much all that's left is marketing, and there's not a lot that I can do as far as that's concerned other than just keep posting and talking about it wherever I can, that kind of stuff. But other than that, it's pretty... You know, it's pretty, at least this project so far is kind of just every project kind of hits a lull, and this is kind of in a lull state right now. And in a few days when we launch, it'll get back up again. So,
hell yeah.
You know, it just is what it is.
Sweet. Is there anything you can tell us more about Smash that people should know about it so then they can go to the Kickstarter page after this?
Yeah. I mean, we have some really, really great creators in this one. We have, some artists, Ben Humanick, he's a good friend, but he has been published by Band of Bards and Comiker Press. If you've heard of his book, Brody Can't Be Broken, that was really good last year.
I heard that one. I did actually hear about that
we
one.
We have, yeah, he has his own story in here that's really great. It's like this question of, will you be branded a heretic in order to save your own life and or to save the lives of the ones you love? And it's like, how far will you go for that? And it's just a really good story, done really well, very suspenseful. And then we have Laura Helsby, who she's done some great work. She's an awesome artist. She's done some stuff for 2000 AD. We have a variant cover by Kyler Clodfelter, who if anybody's heard of him, does awesome stuff. He did Crash and Troy with Jared Lujan at Action Labs. He's done some stuff for Dungeons and Dragons with IDW. And then we have Jared Lujan as well, who his story is actually going across all four volumes. That'll be basically a full 16-page story by the time we're done. And he's done work for he was part of DC's Milestone Initiative.
Oh shit.
He's worked at publishers like Scout, at Image, and just a lot of other places. And we also have, that's just the creators that people may know the names of. Mm-hmm. We have plenty of others who they will be hearing their names soon because their work is awesome. Cool. Chris Moses, Christian Pernesti, both stars right now. Like at least Christian, especially Christian, like his work is going to be, it's stunning. It's absolutely stunning.
I love that. I love that a lot. And I love how like it's getting the voice creators. Like obviously, like you said, like some people who are, we should probably know, but then also people who we don't know yet and that we're going to see their work come on. I love that shit. Like that shit, like 2000 AD does a real good job of that too. They're like, here's these people, like you're small, here's big. I got a story for them one day, I hope. But you know, and it's a beautiful thing. If you're looking for a writer, I'm available. I work for free.
Okay.
But I work for the F word.
We'll have some, follow us, and we'll have submissions sometime for volume 3 sometime later this year. So
okay.
And then maybe 4 at the end of the year. But yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, definitely. There's some, we all got ideas that we kind of want to see out there, you know? And it's like those things in my back pocket. Like there's one I won't say it on the recording so nobody steals this shit.
Yeah.
But like, you know, there's a Western thing that I have and it's a sci-fi Western. I'll just say that. And I'm like, you know what? We don't see too many Westerns. I'm like, I kind of want to put that out there. Yeah. But,
and it's like, I was just going to say, like, the good thing about, like, I like about having for other people and when I do it for myself is submitting to anthologies like this is that, like, because we do limit the page count, like that's such a good challenge as a writer, just to be like, no, you have to tell your story in 2 to 4 pages.
Yeah.
2 or 4 pages. That's
I love that you shit. Cool.
It's a good little challenge. You have to take like a big idea, like the idea that I have for another project for another anthology. It's like, I had the whole big idea, but I was like, okay, no, now I got to like figure out how to cram that down and make that fit. And that was just a really fun challenge. So, you know, yeah, definitely for anybody who's interested, keep an eye out. We'll be have at least volume 3 this year, maybe volume 4 submissions probably near the end, but I don't know for sure yet.
Okay. Definitely going to keep an eye out. So if you see one from a Dakota Morgan, don't be biased. It's okay.
Sounds good.
But sweet, man. And I don't want to take too much of your time going on today, but where can people follow you? Like, where is the social media for everything? Like, where can they get you?
The best place to go for all this stuff, for all Smash especially, and all my comics is look up Foreign Press Comics anywhere. That's in the only where place it's different is on Twitter at F Press Comics, because they have a character limit. But yeah, just look it up. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, technically YouTube. I'm thinking about trying to get in over there. We'll see.
It's a tough market.
My podcast, my podcast is, you can find that on my website. So yeah, just go over there, subscribe to our email list, because I give out some free comics on there, and so
cool.
That'll be pretty fun.
What's the podcast? Is it just Foreign Press Comics?
No, it's called Comics Unscripted.
Cool.
But yeah, we do episodes about. I'm in the middle of trying to get my schedule back to a place that I am comfortable with, because I was doing it really earnestly. I was only doing two episodes a month, but it was still getting to be a lot. On top of, like, it wasn't a lot. It wasn't super fulfilling interviews. And so I've kind of tried to limit it to more like one a month. Plus I'm also doing some live drawing sessions that go on the podcast, but yeah, Comics Unscripted. If any of your listeners are like comic fans or comic creators, more specifically,
I'd hope my listeners are comic fans.
Yeah.
If not, I don't know what the fuck they're doing here.
Yeah. But no, if they are comic creators, my last two, or not this most recent one, but the two before that, were featuring Charlie Stickney, who was the former publisher of Scout and is he's one of those Kickstarter comics guys. He has some really great insight into making comics and kind of the state of things right now. Cool. And then the guest after that was David Harper, who's the host of Off Panel and creatorsketch.com. And he had some other great insights into kind of just comics right now. So if anyone's interested in the comic industry or creation, those are two. So like, I'm not usually not like bragging about my podcast episodes, because I don't know that they're all, I mean, not putting out anything I think is bad, but those are two that I think are particularly worthwhile listens, just because of how informative they are.
Nice, man. I like it. I love it a lot. And when people, because there's so many, you know, and as well as I know, there's so many comic podcasts out there, right? There's a shit ton of them. Most of them are like everyone talking about, oh, I hated this, I hated that. But like your show, this show, you know, we have honest conversations, and I think that's also important to have, like, give the behind the scenes knowledge a little bit of like what it's like, you know, what its current state is. Like I think the most interesting time doing podcast interviews was 2020. That was an interesting time, because that was like, ooh.
I started right after that.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, it's a little bit better, but like, you know, not by much in 2021, but it still was like, that was a time. If I re-listened to, it was my wife, she binge listened to my show when we first started talking, and she was like, yeah, it was all this. And I was like, I went back and I listened to an episode from 2020 and a couple of other ones. I'm like, man, we all sounded depressed. I was like, oh my god, and we don't know what's going on. Oh, there we go. You just froze there for a minute. I was like, oh shit.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you're good.
We're
good.
Sweet.
You've frozen a couple times. We're good.
All right. Damn internet. But thank you, Kyler, for coming on the show, man. This has been a blast. And when you want to come back on, whenever you have a Kickstarter one or two, come back on. We'll have a conversation. We'll promote it, do whatever. If we're going to have the other folks come on too, we can definitely have them as well. Okay. But thank you, man. This is awesome.
Yeah. Thank you, man. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Yeah, of course. And I'll let you know when everything comes out too. This will come out on, I think Kickstarter Day. We're looking at Tuesday.
Awesome. Yeah, that'll be the day.
Sweet. All right, man. Well, I'll let you go. You have a good one, okay?
All right, you too.
Hey, bye.
Bye.